welcome to another episode of Three Wise DMs, the podcast where three dungeon masters who've been doing this for way too long talk about all the things we do to try to make our games as good as they can be.
Hi, I'm Tony.
I'm Chris.
Got a feeling inside, can't explain, it's a certain kind. Can't explain, I feel hot and cold. Can't explain, yeah, down in my soul, yeah. Can't explain, dizzy in the head.
When I feel blue.
Yeah,
nice,
dude.
Nice.
Can't explain.
Yes.
Oh, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Three Wise DMs. It's the Rock and Roll DM, DM Dave, with, I believe, I think I've said this before about other artists, this is the first time. Write in and tell me if I'm wrong, listener people.
But yeah, I think those this letters.
This is the first time that I think The Who has appeared on Three Wise DMs, I'm pretty sure. I don't see why I would have sang any other Who songs. So I can't explain by The Who. What are we talking about? What can't we explain? Well, before I kick off our in-house DM question from our own DM, Chris, I'm just going to throw out to him, for all you guys out there, DM Chris has been a longtime supporter and fan of the New York Knickerbockers.
Oh, dear Lord, yes.
For his adult life. Now, when we were kids, we weren't really into sports, but he super got into sports. He is New York all the way. So 52, 53 years. Well done, Chris.
Yes.
So Dave, I'm going to let you have the floor and talk about the Knicks here.
Oh, dude, it was actually the last time they won was in 73 before I was born, which was in August of 73.
That's fucking crazy.
It was awesome. It was, for all of the heartbreak, for all of the years, it was a fantastic team. It was the perfect timing. It's nice when it finally popped, and it was awesome to finally be able to see that. So it's getting a little thick now. right, you know, as it
as
often
it
will,
should,
but
as
it
should.
But it's you know, it's I got to watch it. I was sitting there with Zach. It was right. It's like a once in a lifetime thing with something like that. You just never expected it, so it was really awesome. Thank you for letting me talk about it. Go next.
No, absolutely, man, absolutely. It's that was a big thing. I am not a basketball fan, but I know that Chris has been slavishly devoted to the Knicks for way too long. For way too much heartbreak. So well done. And anybody who is bothered by that, you know, eat it. Okay. This is, we're East Coast here on Three Wise DMs. All right. Anyway, Chris, I'm going to throw it back to you because I can't explain is the theme of our show tonight. So fill us in. What is the question that you kind of threw out to Tony and I that we are currently dealing with?
Well, I spend an awful lot of time, especially if there's like we have like these extended breaks before we get to the actual game, sometimes with the reschedule. And I just spend time thinking about the plot and thinking about every scene and making sure in like a Sherlock Holmes kind of way that there's a logical explanation for everything that happens. We're trying to get there. You guys can tell me I'm wrong or whatever, but it reaches a point where I start to wonder, does it need to make sense? Does there need to be this perfect line? Do I like, is it more just me being obsessive, and is there a sweet spot for it, right? Like, because I know that you guys don't pick up everything that I'm putting down, right? So in many ways it's difficult to even have that perfect logic, but I wonder, because it's something that, you know, it keeps me up a little bit when, like, you know, as like the Lord of the Rings rolls along, like every scene, like I'm thinking about the guy, like the orcs underneath, like that was like I spent a whole times, and I even reached a point where it kind of I locked up on them because I couldn't come up with a good reason very often for them to show up and these particular things to happen, because I couldn't come up with a believable reason on my end. And so I wanted to throw it out to you guys and see if that's, you know, I don't know if it's a common thing, but if there is a sweet spot for it, does it really need to have all of this perfect logic?
Well, continuity is extremely important. And story, as much as it air quotes, makes sense. I mean, that is important. Your story, more or less, in many respects, should be bulletproof. But as far as each of these individual scenes and how you navigate it, I think in the original question we were talking about, like, from actually Dave threw out a video on this where he was talking about the sandbox, and how that ties in. Well, of course, you know, you're talking about sandbox, I'm gonna start talking about Skyrim. And, you know, when you're running around and you're just exploring, to explore and the story is light, in the right situation, that can be very effective. It depends what your audience is there for. Do they just want to see what's over the hill? Or are they really looking for that secret? If they want to put that together, it just depends on your group.
No, I think the Skyrim comparison does make a good thing. There are an awful lot of times in there where somebody just randomly runs up to you, or you just randomly run into something, and all of a sudden you have, like, these extra powers and these things happen. So it doesn't always have to – there is an overall story arc to it, but it doesn't have to have believability in each of the things.
Yeah, so, Tony, you mentioned it. And, Chris, I know you didn't get it this morning. Go back, though, and everybody out there – I'm going to link it in the show notes here. But it's funny because I actually, this YouTube video came up in my feed like just a day or two. I saw it before you asked this question, Chris. And I was like, oh, I need to go back and watch this and just see. And it's not exactly the same thing, but I think it's helpful and it's good advice. And it's very tangential to what we're talking about. But it is from the channel is DM with a Day Job. This is the first video I've seen of his, so undoubtedly YouTube will now show me every video he has ever created, including all the shorts and reels yes. that he's created, right?
The skits.
Part yeah, of your like algorithm all, forever.
He'll be on my yes. Facebook, you know, people you might know. But the title of it was Why Most Sandbox Campaigns Collapse. And what caught my eye, though, was actually the splash page of the little clickbait thing that they put on the splash page. And he said, stop connecting everything. And I was like, oh, I have to go into this, because I think that's what we're kind of talking about, are these like deep lore things that everything, and there's a level, like Tony said, it has to make sense and there's verisimilitude in the world. But there is a level of players pushing into that can change or will almost solve itself, like will almost put the logic in as to how this might be. One thing, because this is about the Lord of the Rings campaign that Chris has been running, and this is where I think it becomes very different, because LOTR is not normal D&D. You are coming into the world of Tolkien and the calendars that he created to make sure that Aragorn and Gimli and Legolas were on the same timetable as the hobbits, who were on the same timetable. You know, like there's a level of intense verisimilitude because he's writing the story as opposed to playing a session and seeing what the fuck happens. So, so that's where I would start off saying is like this idea of, we don't have to connect everything, because some of the connections will just be made. We'll almost back into them, I think, as players sometimes.
I don't know. I do get upset at the concept of what I just wrote down there. What if the players ask? Like I am forever worried that they're going to be like, well, why is this guy here? Well, what does he think? And you're like, well, because, like, at a certain point, I'm going to get all dad style and be like, because he's here. That's why he's
that
here.
That doesn't make any sense. Why is this man searching for this? I think I've literally asked that in games before, you know, so it's fair. That's a fair question.
Well, you know, sometimes a tomb is just a tomb. I mean, honestly, like, you know, Skeletor doesn't have to have put that one bad guy in there for you. Like, honestly, this doesn't all have to be interconnected. Baldur's Gate 2 did that really fabulously where that's how old I am. Where you could go out and do a whole string of very fun, unique, unrelated quests as kind of palate cleansers in their own mini one-shot fashion, so to speak, and then swing right around to that good old main storyline whenever your heart desires. There really wasn't a timetable in that, like with Dragonlance, where we're like, we are on a timetable, kids. Like, you know, Soth's doing stuff. This was very, in the respect of the sandbox, very open. You could explore the real edges of the world and then come back to that story whenever your heart desires.
No, and I think the Lord of the Rings is a little bit like that, right? With the Fellowship phases, it was a series of slow sort of build-ups of different things. And so there was some level of continuity to it. They didn't have to connect super together. And it's one of the things I've been trying to avoid is making sure, like, everybody is not going to be, like, everybody doesn't have the supreme destiny and stuff. Like, I wanted it to feel much more organic. But there are times that I find myself, like, I don't know, stuck on, like, for example, like with the orcs in things, since we're kind of near the end of that things, it was difficult for me to bring them out faction wise because I couldn't find a good logical reason why you might bump into any one of them randomly in the halls of Mordor and that you would know these things were happening, right? Anything I was doing felt forced or it felt thin. I mean, as a player, do you think that they would care if it felt a little forced or if it was, you know, I don't want to say forced, but you know what I'm saying? Is the player's enjoyment changed at all because I might throw in something that doesn't necessarily make total sense? Like it's just sort of like a, not necessarily a portal, but something like that.
Funny and it's actually, Chris, we're actually in Moria. We're in the mines of Moria. And as a player in this campaign, again, this is very different. Tony, you mentioned Dragonlance, and I think there's a good similarity here in this sense of this very large, world-changing, epic fantasy adventure that is happening. So, like, you know, the Middle-earth campaign has literally been built around the shadow is rising, right? The shadow is starting to, and we know that over the next, like, 80 years, it will rise to the point where, like, the Fellowship of the Ring and all of those events happen, and we're kind of in the beginnings of this. So there is a level, in the same way in Dragonlance, right, that, you know, Takhesis is returning. Like, the dragon, the draconians have been, you know, they've appeared on Kryn. The gods are returning. So there's a very definite push. So it's not the same as like your normal sandbox where not everything, Tony, you said sometimes a tomb is a tomb and it's true. Like not every interaction has to be, and that's how that ties back to the villain's father, you know, and that type of thing.
I still have my father's sword right here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I will say as a player in the Moria thing, what actually caught me about the factions of orcs, which is really interesting, is because it's Lord of the Rings, it's Middle Earth. So I'm coming in with a level of like, oh, I think I know. I never even thought of Moria as having like factions and it being like giant cities and stuff. Like you literally, all I'm thinking is the Fellowship in Moria, right? So it was more like, oh, there's other people, and what, they have fight clubs down here and stuff like that. So, and the idea that we could negotiate and, like, work with these, that caught me off guard. So I was, like, I was able to fall into my character, who's not, like, the negotiator guy, to kind of, like, see where this was heading, you know?
No, and certainly forced isn't your best work. But you know, for an approach that you could consider, I don't know, like, you know, you're asking yourself, like, why are all these orcs down here? Are they fighting? Are they going over territory, treasure, revenge, prestige for the Dark Lord? And then you could just plot drop when desired. Like, you have a moment, we're not in the battle, or you find some evidence somewhere on a scroll, a cave wall, a ghost, whatever method you want to transmit this down to the party. You know, and then you could perhaps use that to avoid them, negotiate with them, or even work with them.
Yeah, no, and I think in that case, that starts to end up in a different area besides doesn't make sense, is being comfortable with letting the players have a full level of negotiation at the table with things, right? Where I worry, like, well, what if they don't go with any of them? What if they do go with this? What's, like, you know, trying to anticipate all of the variables there to make sure that I have an answer for it. But it's just, I mean, I know the players don't need perfect information. It has to make sense in the world. I mean, we're in Lord of the Rings. We're in underneath the in a dwarven kingdom underneath a mountain, right? With all kinds of stuff. Like, it's, you know, obviously it doesn't make sense in a reality sense. But I spend an awful lot of time worried about how to drop it, where sometimes maybe it's better just to drop it and then, like, if it floats, it floats. If it doesn't, it like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, you know, because it has kind of made me change the way I might approach certain things. If I don't have a good explanation for it, I'm going to drop it out. I'm going to put something else in there that makes more sense that you might encounter in this part, right? Like the idea, like in a wilderness encounter, you're not going to encounter something from the mountains kind of idea, right? Like if I don't see a good logical connection, I just sort of throw it out. I need something that makes more sense that you might actually, you know, or I think you might actually.
Well, I think that there's a level of just like we say this a lot in different aspects, but it's similar. You're throwing an encounter out. You're setting a scene. You're introducing what is currently in front of the characters and the players, and then the players then do something, whatever they do. So you never have to explain it until like. And maybe ever, but until after the fact anyway, because again, the reason for it, unless you've already decided what that reason is, and in some ways that is useful. There are times where you do need to do that. But with the YouTube clip that I was talking about, DM with a day job, he was saying like, not everything has to be constantly planned out as to how exactly that's going to go and how this conspiracy, those red lines, all connect prior to the fact. I go back to the Dragonlance campaign early on, and I had built this whole like, okay, well, they're invading Vogler. Okay, well, why the hell are they invading this little tiny town? Like, this is the first strike of the dragon army, and they attack
Delaware.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like it's Tom's not River. DC. It's not. Yeah. They're in Tom's River, New Jersey. Right. And you're like, wait, like that. Why? And I remember, I think it was at the end of. Thankfully, it was the end of the session. So sometimes you have these little DM gifts. The DM God smile on you. But Scott was literally looking at the map. That comes with the adventure of that area of Ancelon that you were on. And he's like, well, if they're in Vogler, like, did they cross this river? Like, how are they crossing? And I was like, oh. And like that little thing where he was like, this doesn't make any sense, created this whole idea. And then I went, oh, because I had to have, similar to yours, Chris, I had to have an overarching this is how this stuff kind of all connects in a way, right? Because the Dragon Army is invading. That is the whole adventure, the end, right? So how does Vogler fit into this? And I was like, oh, it's this way station. It's like a supply route for the Northern Wastes because they're going to have to get to the Northern Wastes to find all of the mysteries and figure out where the adventure takes them. So this is their supply route that then will allow them to advance towards cities like Calaman and things that now matter where they're invading. You know, now they're invading Washington, D.C. and New York City, not Tom's River, you know. But it was that, oh, this doesn't make a lot of sense. And that allowed me to say, oh, well, here's the reason if it's even needed, you know, if it's even necessary for the players to still enjoy it.
You know, I feel like that's a little bit of a kind of like the divide between fun and story / lore and how much you need to have fun at the table without really breaking everything apart at the molecular level. Like I could have been that player at the end of the Queen of the Dragonlance and be like, hey, Dave, what did happen to all those Draconians? Because I know I didn't kill the hundreds of thousands of them that were running around the world. Like they had five horrifying armies, which we did not disband. We did not, right? I mean,
you didn't. That's the beauty. And this is part of where like it kind of ties in with Middle Earth in a way, too, because Chris's campaign is a prelude to the big epic story that everyone knows. Right. The Shadow of the Dragon Queen is the prelude to the big story that everyone knows, the War of the Lance. So the idea is that you never came upon the other dragon armies. This was only a part of a wing of the Red Dragon Army. That was it. The blue, the white, the black. All those were in other areas of Ancelon. And I peppered some stuff in as kind of like for me, because I love Dragonlance and the lore of it. But no, the answer to that is that, no, they're still coming. You stopped this, right? You stopped, the Bothan spies. You know, you got the plans, but there's a bigger story that's about to come, right?
So in Funverse's story, like for my girls' game, they're much more seeking to be have the opportunity to do cool things. I don't think they're as drawn into dissecting all the details, pulling apart mystery. It's just not their thing. And also, dare I say this, frequency of play. When you're playing like once every 2 weeks or once a month, it's really hard. Like you need somebody who's really on their game to follow all those notes, depending upon how tight you're, you know, peppering them out throughout the story.
And that's a really good point for you, Chris, with this campaign especially, because like you have just been plagued with like just these long spans between and like the fellowship phases allowing these breaks have helped, because it's like, oh, well, it's a fellowship phase, so we cannot play for 6 weeks and it's fine because you guys are off doing whatever,
eating
right?
Cheese.
But it's a little different now when you have a big span and it's mid-adventure and we're just on that pause button, right? You're just waiting for it to start again.
And it's I think there's a difference between the moment at the table and a week, a month, 6 months, a year later with that. Like, how much do you from Dragonlance, like I remember being in Vogler, you know, I remember the towns, I remember certain key scenes.
You'll always remember Vogler.
It was dramatic. Right, like, but you know what I'm saying? But there are, like, it's, you know, I don't remember a lot about the decisions or how we necessarily got there. I mean, I think a lot of the D&D adventures, they always kind of, right, it's kind of like Tyranny of Dragons. It's like, okay, and now you're here and something's happening and for some reason they're attacking this place, right? And then you figure it out and then that kind of leads to the story. But it's, it can be difficult. But I know that, you know, especially with the long breaks, you guys aren't going to remember everything. It's just sometimes I worry in the moment that I'm going to reach that point. That's, you know, like Scott would be like, well, that doesn't make sense. And, I'd be like, well, but you made a good point that it's, you know, I think as long as everybody's having fun. Right. Like that's what I'm really concerned about. I think it's probably a lot in my own head that I'm worrying about it, making sure that it makes sense all the time. Right. Like holding myself to a standard.
Well, I will say it's part of the DM thing. And it's quality to do it, to think about these types of things, because one, it does create that verisimilitude and that cohesion within like your own story, even if it's a fantasy, is logical in and of itself. It does abide by its own rule set. The rule set might be fantastical, but it's its own rule set. But I will say, like with Dragonlance, no, you probably couldn't name all the different adventures and stuff. You would name a couple things that were either like high emotional content, like Vogler, or just funny because it's the first time we met Cajun dwarves, right? Or something like that. But if I asked you, hey, tell me about Rasguedo, right? You would be able to say, oh, well, this and this and this. And that's where I think this is really helpful and informative, and this is actionable, is that you always have to remember that the players care about their characters first and foremost. They don't care as much about that's not exactly like what I'm saying. Like, we don't care about the adventure, but you care about how I'm in the adventure, right? That's and if you can focus in on that, you're good to go, and it saves you a lot of having to tie up all the possible lore ends that, wait a second, but in Third Age 2873, it actually...
But why was his grandfather there? Is that like that? You're like, well, because he was. It just happened. He turned a corner and he was there. Boom. There you go.
I mean, with Tolkien lore, though, I mean, honestly, unless you're sitting here with a master's degree in the subject, and even still, you can make a continuity error. I don't care.
Or if you're Stephen Colbert, either a Tolkien scholar or Stephen Colbert. Right. Because that motherfucker knows some Tolkien. Oh, my God.
I mean, even Tolkien did mix some things up. Like, he kept, like, there were certain things that they're, like, they sort of change over time and stuff like that. Like, I don't know if I would call them plot holes, but I mean, those kind of things exist because his world is so huge. But I mean, my world is much like I'm only taking a small portion of it. So I have less of a, you know, I feel like I have less like less of a tolerance for it than he did, because he wrote like, you know, three books and then they took the rest of his stuff and did the rest of the books.
I mean, my comparison would be with Journey to Ragnarok. It would be, it was very easy for me to get way too lost and put out too much stuff surrounding the factions of the Vikings. Oh, and by the way, here's the boom. Let me drop the dictionary of all the Norse lore, their tales, their stories. All
the
this
Edda.
Stuff.
Yeah, like we literally just dropped the Edda on it.
I'm reading poems at the table. Like,
yeah, like
you know,
I gave up an eye to the Well of Urn. Just to, like,
yeah, like
the
guy
wisdom.
From 300, you just tell the stories on the beach in front of a fire.
And that's fabulous that there was such a, you know, such rich source material to draw from. But, you know, when we're showing up and we got 4.5 hours and nobody's ate and somebody was late and, you know, someone's got to leave like 15 minutes early to go catch a train, you know, high overview. That sometimes is it saves the day.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I think to that point, I've been trying to, I mean, I try not to drop as much lore as I possibly can. Like, try to take you guys to cool places and show you the things there, but just not to drop a whole lot of stuff on you. But I try to make it more about the characters, like your stories, and let you guys talk and do some role playing through it so that it's more like you guys are progressing through the world. But it is, I mean, the lore part, but even on the smaller sense is where I really, like, it's like random encounters and stuff like that. Like, it's, you know, like, I don't like it to just be something where it just, like, a guy pops out, and then it's like, you know, like, I wish that, like, you know, there was a better way to do it.
What's his backstory?
Yeah, kind of, like, why was he standing there? Has he been waiting there the whole time? Yeah,
that,
like those
I mean, that is the classic evolution of D&D, right? And like we're at a space now in the current gaming culture that it's evolved to a certain type of storytelling and a certain type of role playing games. But they all kind of evolve from the same thing, and we kind of keep rediscovering the wheel or rediscovering fire, because that is the story behind Ravenloft. The entire story behind Ravenloft that Tracy Hickman did was he tells the story. They were playing a game. A friend of his was running a D&D game, and this is old school, so this might have been White Box or basic D&D, whatever. But they're running a game of D&D. They're in a dungeon, and they go to this room, and there's a zombie there, and they kill the zombie, and they loot the thing. And they go into this room, and there's goblins, and they kill the goblins. And they go to one room, and there's a vampire there. And Hickman tells the story. He's like, and I thought about it, and I'm like, what are you doing here? Like, in his own head, he's like, why is this vampire
yes.
here?
Yes.
Right? It's like, that's that doesn't make any, that makes no fucking
blah,
sense,
blah, blah.
Right?
What are you eating, goblin blood? Like, seriously.
Now, it didn't matter because, like,
there's
original,
not a breeding population enough down
D&D,
there. You wouldn't be able to survive. Yeah.
Right, D&D cool. was just, yeah, like, there's, well, who are you feeding on? But D&D started, it was like, it was wargaming where you had one person that could level up over time in these different campaigns, and you just went in and killed things and got treasure, and there you go. So, and you made 5 levels of a dungeon, and you enter the dungeon and let's start, right? It's like for the current day, it's like Dungeon Crawler Carl, the series, right? It's just a giant dungeon crawl, right? But that's where Ravenloft came from, is he went, oh, well, what if this guy has, like, an actual backstory? Like, what if he is a real villain? What if the whole adventure surrounds him? And that started that idea of, oh, well, now we have this, you know, oh, this huge villain. And Strahd still reigns supreme among all villains of all time, you know, not just in D&D. And then you have stuff like Tracy Hickman wrote Dragonlance. Right. And then it was this idea of playing through this long running epic fantasy that told this large one story. It wasn't about collecting gold and looting stuff. It was about this epic story of good versus evil and stuff. Right. So all of these things evolved. And now we're playing in the realm of it's all there. Right. So, yeah, that sometimes like you're still sitting down. You always say it, Chris. We're sitting down to play D&D. Right.
I was like, yeah, I want
to. So there's
like,
a level of
say,
like
I have to take yeah. my own advice in that it's a game, right? It's a game where we do have
it's
a story
game
to it, but
foremost,
it's a game
right?
at its heart. Yeah, it's a game
yeah.
at its heart. That it's a.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course you're also kind of stuck on your some invisible rails and running Tolkien, where you can't step on any of the toes of things that would prevent other things in the main stories from happening. For example, I'm going to tell you, Salinarius is not going to kick the shit out of Saruman the White. It's just not going to happen. It's unfortunate. But, like, that would just cause all kinds of nonsense. And...
dude, Gandalf couldn't even. So, like, Salinarius sure as hell ain't going to yet.
Oh,
you know?
Don't sell me short. A couple lucky ricochets from my arrows.
Yet again, part of the drawback of Middle Earth and Lord of the Rings is that, yes, you could, like, for Tony's point, you can't step on it. You absolutely could. Like, we could, you could just decide, you know what, we're in our own Middle Earth and we're playing and whatever happens. But, like, that's with a product, with a property like Middle Earth, that takes away a lot of the fun, because you want to play in it because of the stories that have already been told, right?
And there is a level of
you setting the stage so that the other things still happen, but we exist in this prelude to The Hobbit and stuff, you know?
No, and I wanted it to be more like a collection of stories, right? Like the idea, like, that you would go home and come back together, right? Like, and a lot of the other adventures, you never, like, go home, and then you might adventure again, but it's on a one-shot or something like that. You don't have to keep on coming back from home and doing all these things. So I thought it was cooler, and it sort of, it keeps it a little less, because I didn't want it to, all of our campaigns have been very huge epic fantasy, where we're all, like, you know, it's like this thing. I wanted it to be a little bit more compartmentalized, because obviously we couldn't, like, and I can't destroy Sauron, because it's like, we're going to need him in like 8 years. But to your point, you could encounter him and stuff to spell. Maybe you just didn't know it. Like, the necromancer was in Dol Guldur and stuff like that. But it's just the, I think I've tried to keep it much more, like, story-wise, so that it's a smaller bite of information and stuff like that, so the lore goes in a little bit better. But I think that's the ultimate point for me, is that it is a game. Like, as we're all talking about it, I'm like, yeah, I know, and I say these things, and then I forget that I say them, and maybe I'm just saying them outwardly and not listening.
I will say, too, I'll kick back to Tony's point about frequency of play. Like, there are certain things we just repeat again and again and again, and it's for good reason, because it's really, like, you start to realize how important some of these things are. Like, these are the bedrock things that change how your games run. But if you were having, like, so we have, like, let's say, best case scenario with Middle Earth, we have had, like, 4 weeks, right? We usually play once a month. Okay, guys, what day next month works for everybody, right? There have been some times we have 6 weeks, right? Whatever. So you have, best case, 4 weeks. You're not running any other games currently. You're running this game. This is all of your D&D stuff is right focused. The eye is focused on the One Ring, right? This, all of his power, yes, is yes, right. All of every fucking agent you have is focused on finding the ring, right? So you absolutely will start to, like, analysis paralysis, because if we were running Middle Earth in, let's say, the Wednesday Nighters, right, back in the day, where it'd be like weekly, yeah, you wouldn't be fucking worried at all. You would just be like, I just need to get something out, because we're all going to get together in like 2 hours, right? So it doesn't give you the time. One, it gives you the time to allow things to just kind of just simmer, right? You can just put the pot on and just let it simmer, because you're going to see next week. So it doesn't matter if I don't get to a nice completion point, right? But at the same point, I'm not going to have the same amount of time to think about it and go over my head and, oh, well, what about this? And the, you know, so frequency of play is important for multiple reasons, not just, you know, I have 4 hours and I got to get all this stuff done. It's also how much do I prepare for? I prepare differently, all of it.
No, truth. And I got to tell you, I really, with all my heart and soul, try to pay attention to the games of all the things. But recaps on some of these long breaks is a lifesaver, really, truly. Also, having a central plot, you know, it can pull everything together as well. Like, for the Strahd campaign, what's going on? We're trying to escape Ravenloft. maybe I'm not catching all the lore for that, but that is still like very clear on the table. All right, now we've escaped Ravenloft, but now we're trying to hunt Vampyr down. That's out there. You know, it's whatever we're doing, that's out there in the background looming. Now I think with Lord of the Rings, you can see that like we're trying to investigate this cult. I don't know if that's become a central plot point, but it's certainly, you know, it's a developing one. So no matter what we're doing, I can feel that is always still looming in the shadows, dare I say.
Definitely. He in the YouTube clip, he makes the point. He goes between, Chris, you mentioned Skyrim earlier. He doesn't use Skyrim. I forget the game he uses, but he uses the idea of like, let's say Skyrim and God of War, where like a thing like Skyrim, like you can kind of go anywhere. Like there are limits. Like I can't, like he says in the other game, you can't just go across the ocean because the designers didn't build that, right? But like you can wander around, you can grab wheels of cheese, whatever, right? And there is a main story, but you can go do. Whereas like, I know I haven't played God of War, but like with that, he was making the point that like, there is the quest, and if you go off of it, you can, but it will kind of be like, and the quest is over here, right? So there is a difference in terms of that, and I think with the Middle Earth campaign, because it is the shadow is rising, we are a prelude to the Lord of the Rings, that there is a level of you having, like, that is the adventure, that is the story to be found, right? All right, so it is about that time now for some final thoughts on our in-house DM question from the Lord of the Rings campaign that we're on. It's the Middle Earth campaign, though. I will say it's not Lord of the Rings yet because we're super early. We're like just after The Hobbit because my character, Baron Thor, actually existed during the time of the Battle of Lake Town.
2967. Yeah. 30-ish. Yep.
So, yeah. But the idea of, I can't explain. Like, do you have to connect everything in your story to be able to answer all the possible questions that might be asked on the final midterm, final exam kind of thing, you know? So final thoughts.
I feel like that could be a really deadly rabbit hole, potentially. That's like, really, I am over here, and here's my city, and I'm now, forget, like, I've mapped out the general store. I've now jet mapped out the sub-basement behind the store that was hidden behind the tree. If they, you know, brushed everything off, they could find the two doors they could open up, and there's down there is another person. It could lead to a quest. It's like anything. You could put as much into it as you truly want, but a lack of continuity can kill the magic. So that is important. But lore, I would say, is much like akin to spice. You should use it as it's needed.
Yeah. No, I think it's one of the things that, like, number one, it's a game, right? That's like the thing that I come to. In the end, it's us getting together and having some food and having fun rolling, you know, and playing fantasy or whatever like that. But I think also to kind of like we've been talking about, like, it needs to have an internal logic, right? It doesn't necessarily need to make perfect sense, but there needs to be a reason. Like, the rule set informs are right. This is how this world works. And so if it all of a sudden doesn't work that way, or something, that's something that can be jarring to players. If there's a little indecision or they don't know what's going on with something, and maybe that's just like how people are in the real world, right? Like, it's maybe you just don't know about everything, or maybe the person who's telling you doesn't know everything that they think that they're talking about, you know? So it's, I think it's, as long, you know, for me, it's like, as long as it has an internal logic to it. And though I probably am still striving for perfect logic, but if I'm speaking aspirationally, as long as there's an internal logic to it, I think it makes sense. As to Tony's point, there's continuity, right? There's a story arc. I know that like things aren't just happening willy-nilly.
How very Vulcan of you.
Oh, man, what does DM Ponfar look like? Oh, that's scary. like I said, it was funny how the YouTube kind of like preceded us talking about this, and it just offered me up something that made some sense. But the idea that the little clickbait thing that DM with a day job had, which was stop connecting everything, is a really good point. And it's actually one of the reasons, like, I keep talking about it. The next thing I run is going to be much more modular. It's going to be much more, some, you know, an adventure occurs and then another adventure is going to occur. And there may or may not be connection to them, but the connection is that they are all existing in the same world, right? And they can affect each other, and they can have longer standing seeds that take root, but that only happens because of the play at the table. It doesn't happen because I've decided it prior to. Not that there is anything wrong with that way. I think those are two paths that you go, and neither one is incorrect. So I will use the idea, because I've actually played these ones, Skyrim and Arkham, the Batman game, right? In Skyrim, there is absolutely a story where I'm become the Dragonborn and stuff, you know, not a real Dragonborn, but just whatever they want to call it, you know, because Dragonborn always get the short end of the stick. It doesn't matter. They just, nobody cares about them. But, you know, but you can kind of go and do whatever you want to do. And there is a main story, but you can enjoy that world and never finish the quests. I've done that many times. And then there's the Batman game, Arkham Asylum, which there's what you have to go do. Here's the mystery, and you have to go figure it out because the Joker is escaped, right? Like, that's the whole thing. They're both enjoyable, but for different reasons. So with something like Middle Earth, though, Chris, I will still say it's very much, there is a level of, there is a story there, but you can allow whatever lore, whatever answers or questions that might come up to come up organically from the players. You don't have to presuppose that they will be like, oh, geez, what is this? Unless they literally say it, like happened in Dragonlance, where Scott said, well, why don't they just cross the river? And I'm like, oh, shit. But then that turned into a whole way of me being able to connect these things. So.
Because there's a dragon in the river.
But that's going to be it for me. So you don't have to connect everything. A lot of the connecting will happen on its own if it needs to. It doesn't always need to. And a lot of times we will back in and explain it because we love patterns as humans. So we will just create a pattern that may or may not be what you originally thought. And who the hell cares? Maybe it's better. Maybe it's worse than what you originally thought about. So that's pretty much it for my final thoughts. But this question was exactly what our mission statement has always been. We are DMs with problems. We like to help DMs with problems, even if they're ourselves, because we have problems. We run these games. We have issues. So if you have any problems, questions, issues, anything you want to talk about a game you're running, thinking of running, campaigns that you're running, reach out to us. You can reach us at 3wisedms.com and put it in the What's Your Problem field. You can reach us by email at 3wisedms@gmail.com. You can also reach us at Facebook and Instagram. We're very active on both of those sites. There's a fun thing that people do for map making where you take a bunch of dice and you throw them out. And like a D20 is like a city and D4s are like little like mountains or something. And your D12 is like a body of water. And, you know, D6s are forests. And you throw them out and like you kind of have this organic map making, right? That kind of creates a random map for you. I think you could do it in the same way of not having to connect everything, but connecting something. So throw out your dice. And like your D20s are this quest branch, your D12s are this quest branch, your D6s are this quest branch, right? And for that, you need some dice. So I would go to our affiliate link at fanrolldice.com/REF/2871. Put in the code 3WISEDMS10. That's the number 3WISEDMS, the number 10. And you get 10% off of your order to make your quest branch map. That is our own invention. So you are welcome. But that's going to be it for us again. Again, Chris, congratulations for you and your New York Knickerbockers and anyone else who was enjoying that. That was a real funny quick story, but I was watching a section of The Daily Show and one of the clips from like people going crazy in the streets, some dude riding on the shoulders with was yelling, was literally one of the writers of The Daily Show. So like, it was like a whole skit about it. But yeah, funny. Anyway, that's going to be it for us this episode, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We hope to see you again next episode. And as we do at each episode, we are going to let our dear old erstwhile leader take us out.
And thank you to all of you listening from home. We really appreciate it. If you like what you've been listening to, please smash that 5-star rating button. Let us know. Leave a good review. Tell your friends. That really helps us grow. If you'd like to hear us answer any question you have, send it to us at 3wisedms@gmail.com or go to our website, 3wisedms.com, and enter it in the What's Your Problem field. Or you can talk to us on Facebook, Instagram. We're active on all those platforms, so feel free to drop by, you know, send us a question, and we'll see if we can make it on the show. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time. 3 Wise DMs.